Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. In our quest to find higher purpose and meaning in life, we often encounter both peaks and valleys. How may we embrace all of this and recognize the synchronicities and events leading to our ultimate awakening? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Randy Thompson, embarked on a lifelong quest down a road far removed from the path she thought she'd always follow, and experienced that awakening. Randy Thompson is the founder of Enrichment, Inc. and the author of The Power of Inspiration. Her website is enrichmentinc.com, and she joins me this week to share her number one Amazon best-selling latest book, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Randy Thompson. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you so much, Victor, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Randy, please begin by sharing with our listeners your early path and how it shaped your life.
Well, I was born in New York. I moved to Brooklyn for the first 5 years of my life. And then my parents bought a house in New Jersey on a farmland, which it isn't anymore, but it was a wonderful place to grow up. Nobody locked their doors. And it was, as I said, a wonderful place to grow up. But after school, I decided to come back to New York, get a job, and start a career.
You got a career in industry, in business. Tell us about that.
Well, when I came to New York, I first started working in law firms. So I've always been in the corporate world. Then I also worked for CPA firms. I worked for Pete Morwick for a number of years. And then, you know, went into legal recruitment for many years, helping people get jobs in law firms. And I loved that because I felt like I was making a difference. And I realized that, you know, even in my earlier part, before understanding what a spiritual journey was all about, I always felt the need to try to help someone or make a difference. It wasn't always about the money for me. It was more about trying to help that person move forward. And then when I left recruiting for a while, I worked for NBC. And I went in originally just to help the office manager do a $1 million construction project and help her run the legal department. But she unfortunately had to go in for surgery. So I ended up taking over that project, which was something very new for me, but it was exciting. And the end result was wonderful to see.
Like many of us, your understanding of the nature of spirit and spirituality expanded in the early 1980s during what was known as the harmonic convergence. What took place back then? How did this expand your perspective?
Well, at the time, I had no idea what was going on, to be very honest with you. It wasn't until later that I started to research it. But for me, Shirley MacLaine played a big role in my wake-up call. She, the book Out on a Limb and the TV series really changed my direction in life. Watching that and reading that made me think that there was something bigger than myself, and I was here for a reason, not just to make money, travel, and do other things, even though those were fun things to do. And I still love traveling and doing those things. But I started to have an inkling that there was something more. And then I started to research, and I came across the harmonic conversion, and I started to do meditation. Of course, I started to work with Kevin Ryerson, who was in the movie Out on a Limb with Shirley MacLaine. But for most people who knew me in those times, I was very black and white. Like, talking to spirit was like weird to me, to be very honest. It was like, what do you mean? Like, that wasn't part of my consciousness at the time. There was a joke my friends always said that I decorated my apartment in gray, so that would be the gray part in my life, because I was very black and white. So for me to take this path was very different. But that movie and that series changed me.
So prior to that, you really didn't have any sense, or any conscious sense anyway, of this spiritual connection?
None at all. In fact, I remember seeing another channeler through a friend of mine, and I thought, oh, I don't want to sit through this. So really, none at all. I mean, that was my wake-up call, because I was feeling like unsatisfied with life, and I was making very good money. I was going to the theater weekly. I was really enjoying what New York had to offer. And I was traveling to beautiful places. So to me, I was like doing everything that I had set out to do, but I still wasn't, there was still something missing, and I couldn't figure out what that was until Out on a Limb came out. And that's when my world changed.
And as I shared before, like many of us, you were working in the corporate and business world while this spiritual expansion was taking place. How did these awakenings affect your approach toward the corporate world?
Well, I think it basically allowed me to use some of what I was learning within that environment. So I, you know, began to understand that, you know, helping somebody find a new job was really, could be my path. Maybe that was part of my path. Maybe that's why I was here. Or being at NBC and being able to support other people within that environment, even if it was just to give them a quote that made their day a little better, that you could find ways to inspire others and help others where it, you might think it doesn't have to be earth shattering, is what I've learned. I mean, in the beginning, I thought, you know, I had to help everybody change their thought process. But then I realized that isn't my job.
You know, it's interesting that you share that. I spent 44 years in the business world, in welding equipment and compressed gases and engineering. I worked with construction companies in New York City and many of the welding fabricating businesses here in New York. And one of the things that sort of always traveled with me, even though I didn't have a conscious nature of it until, like I said, my awakening took place, I always try to bring something other than the business with me in my meetings and my gatherings and my associations with these people. Always expressed concern for them if they seemed to be struggling, always would listen and give them unconditional listening, which was such a rare gift back in those days. And also a sense of humor and lightening up the situations when things were difficult or dark. Is that something that resonates with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I find that when you do that, people are, you know, people who are afraid to talk about these topics open up and say, gee, I was thinking about what I'm really here to do or what my path is. And so they start to open up to you because they either sense it, they feel it, or you give them the opening to do so.
In 2009, you founded Enrichment, Inc. What was your founding mission and how has that evolved?
I opened up Enrichment, Inc. Inspired by spirit to do so, because what I felt I wanted to do, to be honest, was to help others like yourself, like teachers of the path, to promote their work and help others in that way. So my goal originally was to be behind the scenes, trying to help to promote their teachings and their classes or their, I would love to travel or traveling with them, that kind of thing. And originally it was to open minds and awakening hearts, which is my tagline for Enrichment, Inc. But then I began to realize that the first heart I had to open was my own. Mm. The first one I had to awaken was my own. And that's the path that I was on. And that's one of the reasons why I called my book An Awakening Heart, because I'm talking about my own awakening.
And what were some of the services you provide through Enrichment Inc.?
As I said, it's mostly for promotion. So, for example, what I'm going to do is put this out on my website so that people would know where the link is. Help other teachers like Kevin or Greg Braden or others, since they might have a trip that I can help them promote or a book that I feel that could help others. So that's the type of work of why or what I opened Enrichment Inc. for. And I've done some of that. Unfortunately, due to COVID, I wasn't able to, travel and do the things that I wanted to really do. But ultimately, it was to promote other teachers' work.
Your first book, The Power of Inspiration, was published in 2022. What inspired this book, and what do you offer your readers?
The Power of Inspiration came about in 2009, when I started to build my social media network. I put out positive quotes every day. To be honest with you, Victor, I did it for myself because a positive quote every day helped me to change my mindset. Even to this day, sometimes I'll write note to self because I'm really posting it for myself, but I'm sharing it with my users. So I became known as a quote girl because everybody would come to my site to see what positive quote I would put out for the day. Now there's a lot of people doing that. So it's not anything that people haven't seen before. But I always still feel, and I still use this book to open it at random to try to come up with a quote that might help me that day or might, take me out of a bad mood at some point. So that's the purpose of this book. And I love quotes. And I still use them for myself. And I recently started again putting them out. I stopped for a while due to an accident that I recently had. But I started once again because truthfully, I needed it for myself. And I felt my social media network was also asking for them again.
And the way you have formatted The Power of Inspiration, you start with a quote and then give your readers an opportunity to journal their feelings about that quote. Why is it important for us to journal and document these things?
I feel that, it's about going within. So if you understand why that quote might inspire you or why it maybe makes you cry or makes you laugh, understanding that could help you. So I feel that if you reflect on what it is, it could help you not only now, but also if you go back, let's say 3 months from now and think, okay, this really inspired me. And then you read it a second time, you think, well, now it makes me feel, now I laugh at it or, so now I have a different feeling about it. So I just feel it also could show you your own growth as well when you reflect on anything, whether that's daily reflection or quotes or anything else. It could help you to or teach you something about yourself.
And in that teaching, we also affect healing, don't we?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Yes, in that teaching, we also affect healing.
Correct. Absolutely. Well, it's all a lot of it is about healing, about understanding, why things happen or which is part of my book, An Awakening Heart. It is a lot about healing, about moving into joy on a regular basis and whatever can help us to get there. And quotes do help me get there at times.
And congratulations on your number one multi-category Amazon bestseller, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. What was your inspiration for An Awakening Heart?
Well, thank you very much. It was very exciting to see that because some of the categories are very difficult. So I was very excited about that. What made me, I had never ever dreamed of putting out such a personal book. As I said, my company was designed so that I could be behind the camera, not in front of it, so to speak. But ultimately, as I was getting closer to a lot of people on social media, I once shared a story, which is in the book, about my Nana. And people kept saying, well, you know, they had a lot of comments like, you know, oh, that was wonderful. And or they would say, well, what would you do if this happened? And what would you do if this occurred in your life? So people started to ask me questions and then they started to say, could you share another story? So the stories that I've written in the book were really, I never had the intentions of doing that. But when I found out that it helped healing and it helped people realize they weren't alone and that my experience in life could inspire them to understand that things happen and we need to understand what the lesson and the gift is, and then we can heal it and move on. So I started to do that, and that's where the book came from.
You know, you were talking about starting out talking about your grandmother, your Nana, and I had a Nana like that too. Just tell us a little bit about what she taught you, what you learned from her.
Well, my Nana, which I found out very late in like my teens, was my Nana through marriage, but no one ever told me that. So, of course, my heart always, there was never, I had another grandmother that I never knew about. When I found out that she was only my grandmother through marriage, but it didn't matter to my heart because she was my Nana, I thanked her for making the choice because she never treated me different than anybody else, than my other cousins. I mean, she never even gave us an inkling that we were different. And I thanked her for being my Nana. She chose to be my Nana. So to me, that was even more of saying, you chose, you could have chosen not to be, but you chose to be. And that I was even more grateful for.
Was she your first teacher of unconditional love?
Yeah, I would say yes. And, you know, that was, she was a very, she wasn't a lovey-dovey kind of person. She didn't, you know, she wasn't a huggy, lovey kind of person. But I was able to, and I feel that I helped her to crack that a little bit as well. But I understood that, she, you know, what I think mostly is that she made the choice to be my Nana. And she didn't treat me any differently. And I realized that she really did love me, no matter if she said it or she didn't. She Absolutely. Did love me. And she showed me that in a different way.
And that's such a valuable and wonderful lesson, isn't it?
Absolutely. I consider myself blessed.
Absolutely. My guest is Randy Thompson. She's the author of both The Power of Inspiration and her bestseller, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Randy, please share with our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and your amazing work.
Oh, great. Thank you, Victor. They can, both of my books are located on or can be purchased on Amazon. They can also go to my website, enrichmentinc.com, and books for purchase. All the links are there. The Power of Inspiration is also on barnesandnobles.com and Walmart, and a couple of other outlets. But both books are available on Amazon, and I really appreciate being here today.
And we'll be back with more of Randy after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Sattvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Hey, Dad. Your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad. Your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Randy Thompson. We're talking about her latest book, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Randy, you share before your first chapter a quote from Michael Mead, and to quote, "What awaits to awaken in each person is ancient and surprising, mythic and meaningful." Why do you think that so many, especially in the last 25 years, seem to have either remained asleep or forgotten this important aspect of human incarnation?
Well, I think that it is awakening now. I think there are many people, they might not ask in those words, but I think that they know they're here for something. They're here for something greater than just working and, you know, getting up and doing the mundane things. I think people are starting to understand that. And that's why you and I are doing this. I'm hoping that it will inspire somebody to think, okay, what is my real purpose? I'm a powerful being and I'm here to do something and I want to do it. So I think people are starting to look at that. I don't think it's as foreign as it used to be.
You share that five guides grace your path. Who are these guides and how do they manifest for you?
I started a meditation practice, which is pretty normal when you go on a path. And during my meditation periods, I would see five entities, but I didn't know who they were. And I kept thinking, okay, I must be going crazy. But I didn't, you know, they didn't have any contact with me in the beginning. But I kept seeing very distinct personalities. And when I first did my first vision quest with Kevin Ryerson, that is when I first understood that Antun Ray, who's Egyptian, who has been with me in other lifetimes, who's a very powerful master, was one of those beings that was trying to get in touch with me. When I was on that trip, this woman that I became friends with, Mary, introduced me to another channeler who only channels spirit guides. And as soon as I came back from that trip, I called this woman and made an appointment. And it was through that experience that I was introduced to four additional, or actually three, I think, on that call. I met with Silver Star, who was my master guide and who was my gatekeeper. I met with my angel of love, Dawn. I met Many Arrows, who was another guide that for some reason I was able to, at one point, be able to communicate directly with him. But as I say in the book, I couldn't hold my concentration with him long enough. I remember him trying to teach me about life and life lessons, but I couldn't hold my concentration long enough to really get true information at that point when I was doing that. So when I was able to get a channeler to help me or make the introduction to a few of those guides, then that's how it first came to pass. I realized through that experience that there were a few guides that I wasn't ready to meet yet, but I would eventually meet them on my path at a later date, which I did.
And do each of us have these guides available to us?
Absolutely. We all have spirit guides. And they're all there waiting for us to just be open to invite them in. I would say to everyone, I know their names because it was very important to me. My first experience with meeting them through this channeler, her name is Asandra, I needed their names. I needed to know why they were working with me. I interviewed them just like I interviewed people that I was placing for in law firms. That was part of who I was. So I interviewed everybody I met, and my spirit guides were no different. So I went through this interviewing process with them, and they were kind enough to let me do what I needed to do because they knew that I needed this to move forward. But we all have spirit guides. Yours are different than mine. We all have contracts with guides that we make agreements with before we come to Earth, and they're there to help us. I'll just say to everyone on the call, just be open to allowing the guides to help you. You don't have to have their names. You just ask for the highest guides to work with you, and they would be more than happy. That's what they want to do. They want to help you move to a higher level of consciousness, and they want to help the world to do the same.
Absolutely. And in my personal experience, I've been having what I refer to as the inner voice since childhood. And what I've come to learn is that the inner voice, the guide, is a soft, reassuring, and helpful voice rather than something shouting at you or demeaning you in any way. And a quick example, in 1975, I was in the Air Force. I was stationed in Korea. And one morning, I heard the voice say, "Something's wrong with your mother. You must call her." And I had no indication that anything was wrong. And I called, and in those days we had extension telephones, and my sister and my mother picked up the phone simultaneously. And I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" And my sister said, "Oh my God, how did he find out?" And it turned out she was scheduled for surgery the next day. And immediately my guide, my voice said, "Tell her she's going to be 100% fine. She'll have a full, complete recovery, and she's going to be well from that point forward." And I said that to her. It was reassuring. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So listening to that inner voice, that wonderful voice, that loving voice, is so important.
I agree. And I consider that your higher power that resides within each and every one of us. Absolutely. So yes, we have to listen to that voice, and that voice is different for all of us. You might sense something. You might not hear physical words, but you could sense something, which is ultimately what happened with me. Like, I could feel like something was kicking my gut to tell me to do something.
Mm.
Did I listen at every point? No, but there was a lesson for me to learn in that as well. But yes, now I really, really try to listen to that inner voice, because that will always guide you in the right direction. It will never try to hurt you. It will only try to help you.
In An Awakening Heart, you share the concepts of serendipity and synergy. I've experienced this in my life as what Carl Jung called synchronicity, meaning meaningful coincidences without causal connection. Please share with us some of these that you've experienced and how they enhanced your life and your path.
Well, serendipity to me is like things happen without you really trying. For example, I worked in New York, and in New York, a lot of times the ladies' room is shared by other offices. And I went in there one day and I was talking to this woman. I had no idea who she was or where she worked. All I know is we had started a conversation about sailing. And I found out that she had rented a sailboat in Greece. And she had one spot left, and she asked me if I'd like to join her group. It was a 75-foot sailboat. I didn't know anybody on the trip. I didn't even know who she was, to be honest. And she hired a captain. And in 2 seconds, I said, "Yes, I'd like to join you." And just from having the courage to do that allowed me to meet a whole bunch of other people. I was able to go to Africa through somebody on that boat who worked for American Express travel. And I was able to go with her on a trip that cost very little. So because I was able to listen to my instincts and say, you know what, this people think I'm weird, but I'm going. I mean, I walked into my office and said, "I'm leaving in 2 weeks for Greece with this woman I just met in the ladies' room." They all thought I was crazy. I mean, my boss was like, "You're out of your mind. You don't even know her and you're going to a different country." My boss ran into her office to see if she was, you know, really legitimate. But I did end up going. And it ended up to be an experience that I will never forget. It allowed me to have an experience of meeting somebody from a past life that needed healing and closure, which I would never have had if I didn't follow that instinct and, you know, been in the right place at the right time. And I know that going to Africa was a gift from God, as far as I'm concerned. So there have been experiences that I'm so blessed to have had.
Absolutely. In terms of my experience with synchronicity, every time a synchronicity has happened, I've had three choices. I could dismiss the experience out of hand, saying it's meaningless to me. I could say, "Yes, that's something that's interesting, but not right now." Or I could say yes and respond to it with the big why. And every time I had a big why, another one happened and another one happened. And it's just blessed my life in so many ways.
I agree. You know, from that one yes turned into, as I said, amazing healing and closure from somebody from another life. For me to go to Africa, which had been a dream of mine to go on safari forever. I mean, it's been on every vision board I ever made. You're right. I think one thing falls into place for another, but you have to have the courage to jump when it's there.
And we'll talk about that. What would you share with our listeners who find themselves stuck because of fear of change?
Yes, and you know what? It's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you at times. We all get fearful, but we need to, and I speak for myself as well, that in those times, I try to find ways to break it, to, you know, whether I'm find a quote that takes some of that fear away, or, you know, me opening up in Richmond Inc. and giving up my job that was, you know, I was making very good money. And there I was once again going to have to think about it. But I was fearful of doing it, but I did it anyway. And sometimes that, even if you're fearful, you need to trust. There's a large amount of trust on this path. And it's not always easy. But sometimes, you know, if you jump off the cliff, you're going to find yourself in a place that you would never be if you didn't take that risk.
Which also leads to the challenge for many of the willingness to let go of those ideas and actions that no longer serve us. How have you learned to let go of these in your life, and how would you encourage others to do so?
Well, and I think that also comes with people. As we grow and evolve, sometimes, you know, the people that we're with doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel nurturing. And sometimes that can be very difficult to make those kind of choices. So I would say to everybody on this call that you need to listen to your own inner guidance and honor the feelings you're getting. If you're getting the fact that you're in a situation that's maybe toxic or making you miserably unhappy, but you think, okay, well, I have to pay my rent, or, you know, you need to think, okay, you could take little steps. You don't have to take big steps all at once, but you need to make, sometimes I find that sometimes as hard as it is to walk away, is you just bless that other person and you move on and try to, you know, that it's better for both people involved.
I had an experience or several experiences of people who would take advantage of my open nature and my willingness to help virtually anyone and anyone at any time. And I came to the recognition that some of that work was actually detrimental to me, not only in terms of spiritually and mentally, but also physically. And it engendered with me the courage to use the N-word, to say no. And I wrote a little poem about that. May I share that with you?
Yes, please.
It's called The Healing Power of No. A time comes for choosing rather than losing the essence that makes us so. And in the bestowing, there's power in knowing the freedom that comes with no. When said with compassion, not angry in fashion, and letting the self-love flow, there's a sense of renewing and deep soul imbuing the awareness that comes with no. So with gentle voice, and the power of choice, and the courage to make it so. I'm still here, my friends. There's no means in this end, just the healing that comes with no.
Wow, I love that. I would love to share that. You should share that with the world.
Because I have, and I'm also putting it together. You know, I had mentioned about writing a book. I'm going to put my poems into a book, too, and I definitely will share that with them.
Definitely, because I think a lot of women and a lot of people have a problem. And I did. I was a people pleaser.
Oh, yeah.
I want to try to help people, but saying no has been difficult. So that is a beautiful poem. And I can't wait for you to get it out to the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you for
listening. I would be happy to help you do that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. My guest is Randi Chobchan. We're talking about her new book, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. We'll be back with more of Randi after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Randi Chobchan. She's the author of the Amazon bestseller multi-category book, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Randi, your journey has taken you to many places filled with special energy. We share a common love for Sedona, Arizona. Please tell us about some of these adventures and what they taught you.
I would love to. One of the things I've always loved doing is traveling. I love to experience new places, different people, and I always love doing it. And that was one of the things I wanted Enrichment Inc. to do, to travel to different cultures and experience different things. Sedona, Arizona was my first vision quest with Kevin Ryerson. And it was a very small group of us, about seven people. And we stayed in a beautiful hotel. I mean, I was worried because I was like, I'm not sleeping outside. I don't want to not eat for a week. Like, that's just not my style. I'm like, I need luxury. You know, like I need a beautiful hotel. And But I decided I was going to go anyway. And we ended up staying in a beautiful hotel. We ate in the best restaurants. We had so much fun. We spent time learning and laughing. And I'm still friends with a lot of the people from that trip. And my room, I had a private room, and my room actually could almost touch the Red Rocks. It was just amazing. And we got to experience Sedona on this journey that was just fun. It was a fun experience. And the Red Rocks are beautiful. And the energy I live in New York City, and I think you're aware that sometimes the energy in New York could be very heavy. But when you go outside of New York, the energy is much different. And when you're in Sedona and there are vortexes there, the energy is much lighter. And it allows you to maybe meditate deeper and have different types of experiences. So it was a beautiful experience with 10 beautiful souls that I'm still close with today. And I can't wait to go back.
Randy, my life had a dramatic change in my mid to late 30s as my path reopened. In An Awakening Heart, you call this the second act. How may we recognize when we are ready for this and embrace it?
Well, I think it happens differently for everyone, but I think every soul, I get the feeling in talking to other people that people find that they feel something's missing and they can't really put their hand on it or figure out exactly what it is. But I think most people at a certain point in their life realize, okay, why am I here? What is my purpose? Is it just to work every day? Like, what am I really here for? And I think that question comes to every person, maybe in a different way than it came for me. But I think ultimately that question happens for every soul at some point.
And when we have that question, how should we respond?
Well, I think you need to go within. That's first thing. And you need to find a way to either meditate or do yoga, something that would allow you some inner time so that you can allow your higher self to guide you to the next steps. So you'll be guided as long as you're open to the possibility. And I would just say that, you know, do what feels right for you. So if it feels right for you to learn a certain meditation, then go ahead and do that. If it feels right that yoga makes your body feel better and you feel better, then do that. So I would say to you that whatever you need, whatever feels right, allow yourself to be guided. Ask your guides for help. Tell them that you would like them to help you. They don't care that you don't know their name. Just ask for the highest guide to work with you, to show you the way. And they will show you as long as you're open.
Absolutely. In our expanding paths, we often have challenges with family members and friends becoming uncomfortable and even distancing themselves from us. What would you share with our listeners having that experience?
Well, I would say I understand completely because it's happened to me and it's happened very recently. But I would say to you that just because they are uncomfortable doesn't mean that you have to be different to fit in. Be who you are. Let your light shine. Because your light shine might make somebody feel uncomfortable, but that's what you're here to do. And you will be guided to the right tribe, to your tribe. It might take a while, but I feel that don't shrink yourself to fit in. Be that bright shining light that you are. And it hurts. Sometimes it's hard, especially when it comes with family, because, you know, you feel like, how could that be? You know, this person has known me my whole life. But people get scared. They don't really want you to always change. Yeah. They're used to you being a certain way. And when you're different, they don't necessarily like it.
2 years ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Reverend Michael J.S. Carter, who many know from his appearances on Ancient Aliens. We discussed his book at the time, Initiation, that begins with a Hindu parable about an assembly of the deities with Brahma. The deities are complaining that the humans, who also had divine powers in those days, were abusing it, and it was suggested by these deities that Brahma take these powers away from humans and hide them on the highest mountains, the bottom of the sea, or deep within the earth. Brahma answered each of these suggestions by saying that humans would eventually conquer those places and find and reclaim their divinity. Then Brahma came up with an answer. He said that this divinity should be hidden within humans, as they would never think of searching for it within. Is that the problem we have, that we're forgetting the divinity within?
Yes, and it's funny how I've never heard that story, but it's similar to the story that I've written, basically saying, you know, and I did it in my own way, basically saying that, you know, God is with us. And I'm using the word God, but I'm not religious. It's not a religious statement. You can call it higher power, whatever you want to name it. But yes, we are very... we would find it in the ocean. We would find it in the sky. But will we ever look within? You know, that's a place where most people have to be directed to. So I had never heard his story, but I've written something very similar to that. And I feel that if you spend the time to go within, your life will change. Will there be challenges? Absolutely. Because as I've found through my challenges, a lot of growth. Do we always have to grow through challenges? I don't necessarily think we have to, but right now I feel that our growth unfortunately comes through challenges. And in that challenge comes a gift.
Is it possible in this world of ours where there's so much divisiveness for us to open our hearts and love unconditionally?
Is it possible? Yes. Is it always easy? The answer for me would be no. But I do feel that as we all start to grow and evolve, that love is the answer, ultimately. Love is what is going to take us to much higher levels of consciousness.
You know, talking about that quotation from about Brahma, there's an ancient Sanskrit word, which you're probably familiar with, namaste.
Yes.
And namaste means the divine within me bows and recognizes the divine within you, that we recognize each other as more than these human forms, as these incarnate flesh forms, but as spirit, as divine spirit. Is that something we should do, bow to each other and say namaste?
I love it. You know, we do it in most meditations. But I find it, I think it's wonderful to acknowledge everyone's higher power within, knowing that we're in body form, but we really are a powerful being. We're living in human form, but that's not really who we are.
Absolutely. We're spirit manifested in human form for a reason.
Absolutely. With choices.
What would you like your readers to take away from An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery?
I would like them to be inspired. I would like them to know that stuff happens and they're not alone. But I'd also like to say to them that their story matters. They matter. We're all in this together. And somewhere on this earth, there's somebody who needs to hear their story to inspire them. So I just want everyone to know that they're an important part of the puzzle, that without one piece of the puzzle, it won't be whole. So we're all threads in a magnificent tapestry, and each thread needs to shine brightly. So I just want them to know how much they matter. And I'll also add to each of them, namaste.
Namaste. Absolutely. You know, there's an old song from the Moody Blues called The Eyes of a Child, and it says, with the eyes of a child, you must come out and see that your world's spinning round, and through life you will be a small part of a whole of a love that exists. With the eyes of a child, you will see. We have to remember to look with the eyes of children as we did when we were young.
Absolutely. Agree with you. That's beautiful.
My guest is Randy Thompson. We're talking about her latest book, An Awakening Heart, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Randy, one more time, please share with our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and your amazing work.
Thank you so much. All my books are located on Amazon. The Power of Inspiration is also on Barnes & Noble and Walmart and other places. You can also find the link on my website for enrichmentinc.com. That's spelled ENRICHMENTINC.com. And I would ask everyone to please join me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. I would love to have you a part of the family.
Randy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experience and wonderful wisdom.
Thank you, Victor, for having me. It's been such a pleasure. I look forward to working with you in the future. And namaste.
Namaste. And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.